There's a little bit to talk about. So, it's the news, according to me. Well, I am in I'm in a place called Providence, Rhode Island, right now, and I'm kind of considering doing a little bit different take on my shows here lately. I've had this idea of possibly. I've been talking this over with my producer, and we took this to the committee over at the main facility at the complex. Over there, we all had a big meeting, sat down, talked about it, and I decided, after much discussion with myself, that I have sweet tea in my thermos here. So I've spent the day here in Providence, Rhode Island today, and tomorrow morning I'm going back to Chicago, and then probably driving home from there. However, I might not make it home. I might actually stop and take my boat. I have a boat that needs to be taken. I have a boat on Lake Michigan. It's in an Indiana harbor. I may be taking it to a place where I get it pulled out so they can pull it out, do their thing, pull it out, and then they store it in a cradle for the winter time, because Lake Michigan freezes over, usually. It's usually pretty nasty, so everybody pulls their boats out in the winter. Most people do. 99% of them. 99.9. About the same number as people who survive COVID. So yeah, I'm going to get that going on tomorrow, possibly. May not make it home until late tomorrow night. May not be a show. I might actually record a show from the boat, depending on what the weather is doing. If the wind is nice and it's quiet out there, I'll just have to see how it goes. I might actually do a show from the boat, called The Boat Show. But yeah, so tomorrow, I thought I'd get this show in real quickly this evening, because there's a couple things I'd like to talk about. One of them is the basic discussion of what's going on in the world with COVID, but we're going to talk about other things first. I know I've been harping a lot on COVID, and I know people are probably getting tired of that. Maybe not. I don't know. There's been this little topic. I'm going to have these little short topics, basically, is what's going to do. Little 10-minute shows instead of these one-hour-long shows. And more of a short little topic, a little nugget, if you will. A little nugget of truth, information, whatever you want to call it. Some people call it something else, but this is going to be this little thing about the media and how the media is turning on Joe Biden. And they're kind of at each other right now. So the honeymoon is over. That's always happened. Sometimes it's worse than others. With Donald Trump, there was never a honeymoon with the media. It was just before he even got sworn in, they were throwing tizzy fits about the guy, which, is kind of interesting. With this guy, of course, there was this. It wasn't really a honeymoon. It was just we're glad to have moved on to somebody else because, mean tweets. So now we have all this other stuff happening. So Joe, I guess the media was kind of upset about several things that have happened lately. And I want to make some clarifications here. That people are talking like they're turning on Joe almost to the extent that. They make it sound like they miss Trump or they want Trump back or what, Of course they're upset with Joe, but this is, when push comes to shove, they are still on his side. And I think we need to be careful what we do here with some of these, some of the things that are said, I guess, with regard to how the media is responding and reacting to the Biden-Harris administration, which we don't hear about that much anymore. All of a sudden, it was supposed to be the Biden-Harris administration. Nobody says anything about that anymore. Because that was a flash in the pan, politically correct thing they were going to do. It's just stupid as usual. Once again, now here we are back at square one, of course, with all the other things that are going on with Afghanistan, the border, inflation, COVID, food shortages, supply shortages, world tensions, things that are happening. You know, other than that, everything's running real smooth. What we're seeing, by the way, this is a side note, is a perfect storm brewing here. There are energy crunches and shortages happening in other countries right now. And to some degree, the Biden administration, the policies that have been put in place have exacerbated that issue, caused that issue. Now, you could say, well, it's because of COVID and supply stuff. We'll get into that a little later, but basically this whole idea that there's less energy on the market right now out there. There's less available because we've stopped being a net exporter or a net producer. We are now very quickly headed towards being energy dependent again. Every president since, I think, Jimmy Carter has run on the idea of us being energy independent. Of course, they never have been until Trump. And it's just, you know, Trump just happened to be in the right place at the right time because we were headed that direction to some degree, or were capable of it because of the technology we had. And Trump just turned it loose. And it's just his policies made it happen because of fracking and those kinds of things. Mr. Obama would have completely shut down fracking if he could have, because he didn't like that. The coal industry and all that stuff, he didn't like that. So which is another fallacy we could talk about, the whole coal thing. But that gets into the whole global warming topic, and we're going to talk about that tonight. So people are talking, I hear people talking a lot about the media turning on Joe. And, the tide is turning. They're getting tired of Joe. What do you think their option is going to be? One of the things, I was listening to Mr. Reagan again today, and he had some pretty good thoughts on this, as well as a couple of other people. H.A. Goodman also did some interesting stuff on Joe. And there was a few other people that were, Matt Walsh, of course. He was, they all had some interesting shows on here recently talking about some of this stuff. It's assumed right now that the mainstream media is very frustrated with the Biden administration because of some things that have happened. One of the things that happened was that he was in a conference with the British prime minister, I guess. Is that what he is? I don't know what he is. And the guy with the funny hair. Funnier than, you know, it's kind of like, he was like the British version of Trump, but he's like the opposite of Trump. And he ended up taking some questions from press. And of course, the tradition is that if one of the leaders takes a few questions and the other leader takes a few questions. Well, when it came around to, actually they interrupted before anybody could ask anybody any questions. They interrupted the prime minister and they just ushered everybody out of the room before they had a chance to even ask Joe any questions. Media didn't like that. Then Joe, the other day, he was kind of bashing the media, the U.S. media, saying that they don't stay on point. He was talking, was he in India or Pakistan or where? Maybe he was in Afghanistan. I don't know where he was. One of those stands. He was in a foreign country. Somewhere, or he was in the White House, but he was meeting with a foreign leader, and the media was talking to him, and because he never leaves the country, because they wouldn't let him come back in. So the thing that about this is that in regard, I know that there's not a whole lot of talk about this, but Kamala Harris has been very much on the down low. I guess she's good at that kind of thing. Staying under the radar, being kind of a quiet, staying out of the limelight. When she is in the limelight, she's nothing but a giggling, gaggling, obviously in over her head, way over her skis individual. And it becomes very obvious when she's talking and being asked serious, tough questions. She has these little platitudes that she'll say, well, that's a discussion we need to make. I haven't been to Europe. You know, it's just, she has these ways of getting around things. Very much from the school of Obama in terms of playing the media like a fiddle. Now, which brings up another thing. I want to talk a little bit about Obama as well, just while I'm talking about this, because it's very relevant to the whole media issue. So Carmela, as I call her, the former senator from California, she has this ability to, let's just put it this way. I'll move on to the subject here. The issue really is that the left that plays identity politics all the time, they understand the power of that. They know full well the power that comes from having a, a groundbreaking candidate or a groundbreaking person in office, a historical person in office. Barack Obama was that person when he first got elected. Everybody wanted to see the guy in because, you know, we wanted to see the first black president. They didn't care about his policies. It's not about policy. It's about, we want that token of saying, yeah, well, this country's not racist. Look, we're not racist. We voted for a black man. That's the way that the left thinks. And unfortunately, that's the way a lot of independents think. They're busy working. They don't have time to think. They just do stuff and they listen to the news media, little bites, sound bites. On the other hand, we have Carmela now. So we have the first half black, half Indian individual who now who's a female. And there's a lot of power that comes with that because now you have, you know, you can't, if you say anything about their policies, you're a racist. If you say anything about their policies, you're a misogynist. They're Teflon to the max. They can play both of those cards and they can be Teflon. And I think that the majority of people, even in the, there are some radical leftists that just want to see Carmela get in because she's a black woman, period. Just no other qualification, just wants to see her get in. Another reason is because they know how radical she is. And she is very radical in terms of the Green New Deal, all that kind of stuff. She's behind some of that. Now, this brings me to the points of who is really pulling the strings. Now, I keep hearing everybody say that Barack Obama is running the show. This is really Barack Obama's third term. And I think we need to understand who is controlling Barack Obama. That man does not control anything. And bear with me on this for just a moment, because you need to understand what's actually happening here. Valerie Jarrett is not a name that you hear very often. When Barack was in the White House, you heard her name quite a bit. She was the chief of staff for 8 years. That has never happened in the history of this country before, where there's been one chief of staff for the entire 8 years, two terms of a president. And you have to understand who Valerie Jarrett is and the power that she wields behind the scenes. There's many reports, documents of notes, meeting notes, where Mr. Obama was in a meeting with his joint chief and everybody, or whoever it was. It was in the meeting, a big high-level meetings that they were having. And Barack would get all flustered and upset and couldn't get anything done and couldn't get the people to see his way of thinking. And he would walk out of the room. And a few minutes later, in would walk Valerie. And she would tell everyone what was going to happen. She would lay down the law. Now, why do I think that Valerie Jarrett is still the person behind the Barack Obama facade? Well, here, this is the reason. And this is the creepy side of this story, in my opinion. Barack Obama, the first president who, when he left Washington, didn't leave Washington, got himself a house there because, you know, the kids were going to school there. The kids are out of school. He's still there. And understand, Valerie Jarrett moved in. Her and her husband moved in with Barack and Michelle, or Michael, or whoever you want to call her. She moved in with them when they bought the house. They live in the same house. If you don't think that's weird, that's just weird. I'm sorry, that's weird. That's like too weird. So keep in mind that there's the person behind it. Now, a little history on Valerie Jarrett. She is from Iran. She is not a Christian. And let's just say Marxism is all over that. Mark Levin recently wrote a book called American Marxism, because it's kind of a hybrid style Marxism. It's not what we typically think of as the Marxism from earlier centuries. It is it's very deceptive, and it uses all kinds of tentacles to work its way into our lives. And there's some things that are interesting that are happening in the world right now. Some legislation that's happening, some other things that are happening. But a fellow by the name of Trevor Loudon has a show called Counterpunch. It's on Epic TV. And he talks a lot about the communist movement, the Marxist movement, what's happening, people behind the scenes. Actually dives into individuals behind the scenes and who's in government right now and who's, you know, what their past is and what their history is and what their philosophies and ideologies are. Very, very revealing in terms of what's actually going on out there. And of course, he can't really put his show on YouTube much because they tend to, you know, censor him. But if you have a chance to look it up, it's Counterpunch on YouTube. So all these things are being said now, and you have to realize that the media, the only reason the media is upset with Joe really is because they're making the leftist movement look bad. They don't like the fact that Afghanistan turned out to be a debacle. The COVID thing is turning out to be a mess. Now, in the process here, I want to get back into this, and since that's the majority of what I wanted to talk about with Joe. There's the General Milley, if you want to call him that. I call him Millie. he defended himself today, or tried to defend himself, about this whole phone call to China thing. I couldn't even listen to it. I cannot stand to even listen to the man anymore. I will not. I refuse to just. I just can't stand to listen to the guy. He's despicable, absolutely despicable. He should be stripped of every. He shouldn't be wearing his medals. Shouldn't be wearing his uniform. He should be dishonorably. What he did was dishonorable, and he should be dishonorably discharged. No retirement, nothing, just done. Thank you for your service. Goodbye. Thanks, but no thanks. And of course, these stupid hearings that they have in Congress, congressional hearings. That's another joke too. This is where I can't stand the way the Republicans do this. They call everybody, these people up in front of them, and they ask them these questions, and they look all tough. Nothing ever happens to these people. Nothing happens to these people. You have to understand, it goes nowhere. It means nothing. And until somebody starts going to jail for, you know, talking, if they call me in front of them, if I said something wrong, they'd probably put me in jail right away. But these big shots, it's like they want to just rub elbows with them, and they all go out and have a party afterwards. It gives them their opportunity to make themselves look important and big, tough. Nothing happens. They can squirm in their seat and act mad, throw their little tantrum and make them look like they really care and they're passionate about what they believe. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. It's a toothless lion roaring. Or actually not even roaring, they're just playing a recording of a roaring. Not even their own roar. It's what their handlers tell them to do. So this whole thing is a joke. I've talked before about political theater, and that's what we have before us. We have political theater. We have a group of people who sit around and have meetings and talk about how they're going to present this to the public and make it look the way they want it to look. They rehearse these things. They talk about them. They have pre-meetings. In the pre-meetings, they talk about what they're going to talk about in the meeting. The media has questions that they submit to the administration, and then they get those approved, and of course then they call on certain individuals, they ask certain questions that they want to have asked. It's all set up. So let's take a side note. Let's take a sidestep here off into something else. For instance, I think it's the governor. I think it was the governor of California. It wasn't the governor of California. It was a governor, and I don't know if it was a New York governor, the new New York governor, who it is. There is a push, continued to be a push, to get everybody vaccinated. Now, today or yesterday, sometime this week here, JoJo has said he wants 98% vaccination. Of course, at first we thought we had to have 70% vaccination. Now we have to have 98%. They want to have 100% vaccination. Now, here's the question for you. If we have 100% vaccination, will we still have COVID? Yes, we will. Well, just answer that question. Yes, we will. Getting the vaccine does not prevent you from getting COVID. I think we had a really good display of this on The View the other day. I even mentioned on The View. So everybody that morning got a COVID test. They're all vaccinated out the wazoo, she said. They're all vaccinated, so they'll be okay. But two of them tested positive for COVID. Now, they did the test, and then they went out. They hadn't had the results back yet. They started the show, and during the show, they had to call two of them off of the stage. I don't think this was staged at all. I think this actually happened. They had to try to figure out how to get them off the show because they found out they were positive. But you know, but they're vaccinated. They had a couple of breakthrough cases. How many times are we going to see this? They make it sound like breakthrough cases are so rare. And yet we've had senators, we've had actors, actresses, people like that, all of them vaccinated, all of them pushing the vaccine, and all of them having COVID. And now it's questionable as to whether or not, if you've had the vaccine, sometimes some people with certain blood types possibly may not test positive, but you still be carrying the vaccine. She said, I recently had a discussion with a couple guys, and a couple guys from high school. And I said, okay, so let me just ask you guys some questions. I said, does the vaccine keep you from getting COVID? No, it doesn't. They all said no. I said, does the vaccine keep you from spreading COVID? Everybody said no, except for one guy. He said, I don't know. I don't know if it does or not. Well, this is somebody who's not paying attention, because all the reports are that, yes, you can. It's definitely you can carry even higher loads of the virus and not even know it. And you can definitely spread it. One person said, oh, I thought if you weren't symptomatic, you couldn't spread it. No, you can't. That's why it's spreading and nobody knows how they're getting it. Now, this governor, I think it was New York, is talking about basically making it impossible for anybody to do anything unless you're vaccinated. Because for some reason, this is only spreading because of unvaccinated individuals. They're causing a risk to everybody by not being vaccinated. And they're not going to be happy until everyone's vaccinated. We're not going to be able to get life back to normal until everyone's vaccinated. Okay, so we had everybody, all these people who were vaccinated are now having to get a booster. Is that because of people aren't unvaccinated that's causing that? People aren't asking some basic critical thinking questions here. And that's what's kind of alarming about all this. We have a vaccine that basically is acting as a more or less a therapeutic that's keeping people from getting, their symptoms aren't as bad. But obviously, if you have the vaccine, you can get the virus. That's not what we were expecting. See, we were expecting vaccines to be, the vaccine. In other words, you don't get it. And in fact, Joe Biden told us that. Well, if you get these vaccines, you won't get COVID. Yes, you do, Joe. You get COVID. You may not know you have it, or you might get it and not have as bad of symptoms. Maybe. That's a possibility. The things that are being said are just completely beyond the pale, hysterical, and make no sense whatsoever. We should be spending our money on therapeutics and not on this silliness of making sure everybody gets jabbed. Because frankly, let's face it, the vaccine did not do what we expected it to do. We were supposed to be done with this, because the vaccine had come out and everybody was getting the vaccine. And there's some reports now hearing some interesting things about the vaccine. It's kind of a fringe stuff, and I don't want to get into too much of that in this particular show. But let's just say that there's some interesting things happening there. Folks, we're living in some interesting times, and I'd like to encourage all of you to pay attention to what's going on out there. Because frankly, it's getting pretty serious with this stuff. And I'm starting to see some things that are alarming in my spirit. And that's not a joke, as Joe would say. So I want to thank you guys for listening tonight. I want to thank you for taking the time to share this and like this and comment and everything. Just have a good night, folks. I'll be back on tomorrow. God bless you, guys. I'll be right back.